The following was recorded live from the Sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
You know, Casting Crowns had a song, it called it, If We Are the Body. And part of that song says, if we are the body, why aren't our arms reaching? Why aren't our hands healing? Why aren't our words teaching? If we are the body, why aren't our feet going? Why is His love not showing them there is a way? I always liked that song. I think it really speaks to the body of Christ, how important it is for us to recognize that we have responsibility as the body to reach into people's lives and to make a difference. It's extremely important that we take our individual callings serious. So serious that we recognize that God has giftings for his people. But here's what I'm kind of running into. This is a quote by somebody. I don't have any idea who it was. But they said, many folks want to serve God, but most only as an advisory capacity. Think about it a little bit. We just want to be able to tell others, or maybe even tell God sometimes what needs to be done. A lot of church members who are singing on the promises are just sitting on the premises. Have you ever heard that one? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, God has called us to something much greater than just filling a chair or a pew or, you know, coming to church. It's more than just coming to church on Sunday mornings. It's about a lifestyle. It's about being the body of Christ. And there's several things that we can take from that. We can recognize how important it is to be the body. And we're going to talk about different aspects of being the body of Christ. But what we want to do is make sure that we recognize that as believers in Jesus Christ, we are the body. That's going to be the first thing. There is only one body. That's the first thing we want to look at. And you can look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 with me. Beginning with verse 12. We'll just look at 12 and 13 to begin with. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. When he says Jew or Greek, he's referring to, of course, the Jewish people and anybody outside of the Jewish nation. So he's saying that we are all part of the body. The word baptized here, it means to wash oneself, to bathe, to be overwhelmed. It means to be completely submersed in water. And the word drink, where we say we have and have all been made to drink into one Spirit, it means to water, to irrigate. In a metaphorical sense, it means to saturate one's mind. So what he's saying is that you're part of the body and you need to have your mind saturated with that fact, that you are a part of the body of Jesus Christ. When we are immersed with the Spirit at conversion, we become a part of the universal body of Christ. Now, that means that everyone in the world that confesses Christ as a personal Savior and lives the life is a part of the body of Christ. Now, according to the Center for Study of Global Christianity at Gordon Cornwell University, Theological Seminary, there are approximately, and this blew me away, 41,000 Christian denominations. 41,000, a bunch of Christian denominations. Roman Catholics make up of about 1 billion people. Protestants are 800 million. Orthodox are 260 million. Now, I would love to be able to stand up here this morning and tell you that everyone who says they're a Christian and believes in, says they believe in Christ really and truly serve Jesus Christ. But I can tell you without a doubt that's not true. There are many that do not. There are many that go to, there are thousands who are sitting in church this very Sunday that really do not know Jesus as a personal Savior, who have really not made that commitment to God through Jesus Christ, through His Son. Why is that happening? I don't know. Some cases, they're not being told the truth. In other cases, they're just not responding to the truth. But here's the thing. At the point of conversion, when we truly receive Christ as our personal Savior, we should be saturated with the desire to function as a part of the body of Christ. If you have a desire to function as a body, that's an indication that you are truly a part of the body of Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5 says this, "Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And we know when Jesus walked this earth that his desire was to meet the needs of other people. He went about healing and delivering and setting people free. He told them about the truth of the kingdom. He preached the kingdom of God and the fact that the kingdom had come down and was being spread all over the earth. So the unified body of Christ is all who receive Jesus as their personal Savior. Not everyone that attends church or calls themselves a Christian is actually part of the body. Some people are fooling themselves, and some people are trying to fool others. That's right. You know, I read a story of a guy this week that these guys were in the clubhouse. They'd been playing golf, and they came in and telephone rang there on the bench, and one of the guys answered and said hello, and the woman on the other end said, "Hello, honey. I just wanted you to know that I went to the jewelry store and that diamond ring that I wanted is available. They're asking $5,000 for it. Can I get it?" He said, "Sure, just make sure that it's good quality, the kind that we wanted." She said, "Also, I went by the Mercedes dealer, and that car that we wanted, it's available. They're asking $50,000 for it." And he said, "Well, at that price, just make sure that you get it loaded." The next thing she said, "Well, I also went by the realtor, and that house that we wanted for is listed, and they're asking $900,000 for it, $950,000. And he said, "Well, you'd better just offer $900,000 for it." She said, "Okay," and she hung up. And everybody was just looking at him, like, "Wow, this guy must be loaded." And then he looked back at him. He says, "Anybody know whose phone this is?" Wow, that is bad, isn't it? Yeah, but I'd like to do that. You know, that'd be an opportunity. That'd be great. You know, but some people are pretending like that. And that's my whole point. Pretending that Jesus is their Lord. Pretending to serve God. And the pretense is going to send them directly to hell. There's no reason. You know, why? Why would we pretend to serve a living God? The truth is, our God is so loving, so caring, so compassionate that He gives everybody an opportunity to be saved from a literal hell that the Bible talks about, where we're going to be, where there's going to be torture and gnashing of teeth, the Bible says. So it's very important that we, as people who go to church, come to the conclusion that we not only go to church, but we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that we really serve the living God. And only you can make that assessment in your own life and make that determination. But I can tell you this, I'm a believer that the worldwide body of Christ, that there is a remnant in all denominations, wherever you look, wherever you go. In all 41,000 denominations, there's a group of people someplace that is truly seeking God and serving Him. They may not have all the answers, but they're trying to find Jesus Christ. However, there is a point where God's people are unable to support the ungodliness that are taught in certain organizations. And I can tell you, there's the mainline denominational churches are getting so far off base that it's hard for people to stay in them. In fact, they're losing people in the thousands daily. People are leaving the mainline denominations. But our obligation is to speak truth to people. One of the examples of the mainline denominations getting off base is the United Church of Christ position on ordaining homosexual ministers. Now, let me make something perfectly clear. As a believer in Jesus Christ, I do not hate homosexuals. And I do not believe that they should be mistreated in any way. That's wrong. But part of loving people is telling them the truth about what the Bible says. And the Bible is very clear that deviant sexual behavior is going to send you to hell. I'm going to ask you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians. Just go back a few verses to verse 6, or chapter 6, I'm sorry. Verse 9 says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." There's the thing. There is forgiveness for anyone and everyone. It doesn't matter. He's saying, look, some of you have these lifestyles, but you received Christ as your personal Savior and you turn from those lifestyles. You change. See, that's the thing about the gospel. The gospel is the message that you do not have to live the way you lived before. The gospel is a message that there's freedom in Jesus Christ. The gospel is a message that there has to be repentance and there has to be turning from your sin. You were going one way, you're going to go back the other way. Here's the thing, though, that is happening in many of the mainline churches is that they're preaching that you receive Jesus, or sometimes they're not even preaching that, but some that are, they're saying you can receive Jesus, but you can live any way you want. That's why most of the mainline denomination churches are losing people in huge numbers on a regular basis. That's why a lot of people are going to independent churches like Bethel Worship Center and many of the churches around our area that are independent, because they're receiving the message that the Word of God is still real, that it is to be observed, and it's what God established in this earth for us to know Him. The churches like this are still preaching the fundamental principles of the Word of God and that you need salvation in Jesus Christ. And that's why, according to studies, that's why so many people are leaving the mainline denominational churches. According to patheos.com, the main reason non-denominational churches are some of the fastest growing churches in the U.S. is because churches like ours are well-defined conservative in their views of the Scripture. And we recognize the theology of the Bible. In other words, these mainline denominations have become less committed to traditional beliefs that the Bible is the inerrant word of God. And it's just a bunch of stories. And when you take the power, the word of God is very clear. It said that in the latter days, they're going to confess to know God, but deny the power of it. Deny his power. And that's what's happening. The power of God is being denied in many of those denominations. Now, I can't say that in every church. There's a lot of churches around here that are part of mainline denomination, and the people believe the scripture. And that goes throughout the United States. I don't know about other parts of the world. But just because they're associated with that denomination does not mean that they necessarily believe the denomination. But I'm telling you, the hierarchy, those who are in control, they are leading people down a path that is going to be nothing but destruction. Word is very clear about that. So, number one, there is only one body of Christ, and I don't care what denomination people belong to, if they know Jesus as their personal Savior, they're seeking to serve the living God, they're part of the body of Christ. That does not include Muslims. That does not include anybody who worships other gods. We want to make sure that we're very clear on that, because universalism is a belief system that we all serve the same God. Even the Catholic Pope has been saying that Muslims and Christians serve the same God. He is mistaken. It's not the same God. Our God is Yahweh. I don't know who their God is. I don't care. I serve the living God, the powerful God, the one true God, the only God. Amen. And he's on our side. All these other things are just counterfeit. B, that's the next thing. The body is not one member, but many. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians again. Chapter 12. Verse 14. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now, indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. We are all part of the body, and we have a function in the body. We're all to be used in the body. Now, how can we judge if a person is a part of a body? It's not always easy to do that, just by their testimony. You have to watch people's lifestyle and know more about them. But I can tell you this, the Word of God is very clear that we are to judge ourselves, and that we're to make sure that we recognize that we have the relationship with Jesus Christ that we're supposed to. Turn back to Matthew chapter 7. Oh, we're jumping around a lot this morning, but it's important that we get these principles. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out devils in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. These are people who are going around saying, I know the Lord. I love the Lord. They're casting out devils. They're doing works of ministry. And when it's time for them to be judged, Jesus said, I never knew you. Wow. That's why it's so important that we judge ourselves. We can't judge other people. I can't specifically say whether a person is or isn't saved. I can tell you that I know people's works and how they conduct their lives. But I know this for sure, that what is most important is that Rob Barber gets his life right with Jesus Christ. And I do the things that God has called me to do. And I do not practice lawlessness. That's a heavy word. He said, you practice lawlessness, so depart from me. The word there means iniquity, wickedness. Iniquity is a sin in your life that has overtaken you and controls you. Where are you with Jesus Christ right now? Each and every one of us must judge ourselves. Lawlessness is rebellion against the living God. And here's the thing, it says practice. Every one of us do some lawlessness from time to time. Anybody here that doesn't do wrong? Wow, I didn't get one hand. That's right. All of us have those issues. All of us do things that we know are not pleasing to the living God. However, the word is very clear. We have an advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ. So all we have to do is ask forgiveness. But listen, this says if you're practicing it, that means that you're doing it on a regular basis and you've allowed it to become an iniquity in your life. It has overtaken you. It's controlling you. You're being controlled by this thing rather than by the Spirit of the living God. Now, here it's very important that I say this. If you have an addiction, I'm not condemning you. If you have an issue in your life that you're struggling with, we're not condemning you. You're struggling, you're trying, you're seeking, you're doing your best to overcome. That's important. What this iniquity is something that you don't care any longer. You've gotten to the place where you would rather walk in iniquity, in lawlessness toward the living God than striving to do what is right. That's lawlessness. God loves you. He's not going to condemn you. He wants to help you overcome. And that's why I believe that being a part of the body of Christ, being involved with small groups is important, because we all struggle with things. And if we have a group of people that we can trust and ask to pray for us and lift us up, hold us accountable, it is encouraging and it helps us to walk that straight and narrow that we're supposed to walk. Amen. In Luke chapter 19, Jesus tells his disciples through a parable. He teaches them basically the same principle. But he tells them to do business until I return. Now, this is a little different Greek word rendered here. It's rendered in some cases business, in the King James, I believe it's occupy till I come. And it's a little different word than what he used previously, but it really means the same thing. It means business. It means to occupy. It means to carry on a business. It means to stay involved. So Jesus is telling his disciples, as believers, you've got to stay involved in the kingdom. We must decide if we are going to be occupied by our own kingdom or occupied by God's kingdom. Look, it's easy to get occupied by our own kingdom. It's easy to get off track and be trying to build our own kingdom and our own work. Here's what I believe. I believe that God calls people to all kinds of occupations and responsibilities. I believe that we're supposed to be involved with the building the kingdom of God in our society. We have taught people for so long that just being a part of a congregation is the fulfillment of your ministry. If you teach a Sunday school class, or you teach children, or you do, you're a deacon and elder, well, you're fulfilling God. Well, that's not the kingdom of God. That's just part of it. That's the church part. The kingdom of God that is supposed to be built is out there. We're supposed to be building God's kingdom in society. We're supposed to be changing people. Many years ago, God placed upon the heart of two men, Bill Bright and Lauren Cunningham. They were leaders of ministries, youth ministries. And he placed upon their heart, they were scheduled to meet, and God started dealing with each one of them. And he told them what he wanted them to do and how they were supposed to impact society. And he gave them seven areas of society that they were supposed to deal with. Neither one of them had communicated with the other, but when they sat down, they both came up with exactly the same areas of society that needed to be impacted. These are the seven areas: religion, family, education, government, business, arts and entertainment, and media. All these things are a part of our society. And if we're going to impact society, we have to do it through all of these areas. Now, these things have been called many different pillars. They've been called a lot of different things. I prefer mountains because that's the high and lofty place in our society, each one of them. What has happened is the Church of Jesus Christ has pulled back from all the other segments of society into the religious realm. And believers, believe me, religion is being attacked right now because we've pulled back. We must recognize that we are called to impact every area of society. If you're a businessman in here, a businesswoman, you are just as important as Pastor Rob or elders or deacons. You are very important to this community and this society. If you are working at a job, a laborer, I don't care what you do, one of the areas, a carpenter, a plumber, it doesn't matter, a police officer, if you will. You know, it doesn't matter what it is. God has called you to be in that position to impact our society. And you are just as important as what we do here on Sunday mornings, if not more important, because you have more of an opportunity to impact the people that you come in contact with and change our society. I don't know if you've noticed lately, but some of the movies that are coming out, we just talked about one this morning, that are coming out of Hollywood are a lot better than the ones that we've seen in the past. Some of them, you know, they definitely have a Christian overtones. Some of them are blatantly Christian. What's it, God's Not Dead? That one is absolutely, you know, praise God. Son of God, I've not seen it myself, but, you know, and there's just been movie after movie. Why? Because we're getting the message. Believers are realizing, hey, this is something that impacts our culture. We can change things by producing the kind of movies that will help people see God in a different light and understand who God really is. I think we're starting to learn. I'm thankful that we recognize that these things are so very important. It's the body of Christ is supposed to be doing this kind of stuff. We're supposed to be laboring, and we're supposed to be moving into areas that touch people's lives. A.W. Tozer said this: we are called to an everlasting preoccupation with God. That doesn't mean that we walk around like monks and we, we're holy, holy, holy. No, we live our lives every day so that people can see that we are believers. All right. I want to share something with you. You know, what is extremely important is that each one of us is where God wants us to be. I think that one of the things that happened in the church was that because of our view of the separation of from society, and we're supposed to pull back and not get dirty because of all the things that are going on in society, that we really taught our kids that if they have aspirations to be in politics or to be involved with a business or anything other than church, that they were not serving God. And that's absolutely not true. God calls people to all areas of society. And I want you to understand how important I believe you are in this, in our society, in our community, in our nation. Whatever you're doing, that you are extremely important. But here's what has happened is that in many cases, children who were growing up in the church thought that in order to be serving God, they had to either go into the pastorate or they had to do something that was missionary or something that was ministry-oriented. Everything is ministry-oriented. And sometimes kids got out of their calling, people got out of their calling and went into areas of service that was not what God had intended for their life. Now I want to tell you something. On the flip side of that, my desire has been or had been for many, many years. I wanted to be involved with business. I wanted to build a business. I know I wanted to accomplish things. I just like that kind of stuff. You know, I like to accomplish things. I liked rental properties. I wanted to build a rental business. You know, I like working with my hands, those kind of things. And here's what God said to me. He said no. Said, this, I called you to be a pastor, and that's what I want you to do. Now, I want to tell you something. That's a struggle. When you have a desire to go in a direction, and God has a desire for something else for your life. But I can tell you this, if you follow what God speaks to you, you will be rewarded. There's no doubt about it. And I believe that there's people that want to serve God, but they thought they had to do it by becoming a pastor, an evangelist, or a missionary. And no, that's not true. It's whatever he's called you to. Seek him. Hear what he says. Now, there are some organizations I'd like to share with you, at least one of them this morning. Mark Bilton is the founder of an organization called Called to Business. And he says the mission of his organization to is encourage, equip Christians to be effective in the workplace and in business. What a great ministry. It confirms and it affirms people who have been called by God to do business and impact people's lives. I love it. Because it's showing that God has a mission for everybody in the body of Christ. And wherever you go and whatever you do, he has called you to be his disciple. So if you are in business, guess what? You have a huge responsibility. And that is to proclaim Christ in your ethics, morals, and everything that you do. Don't let Christ down. Because of the way we have viewed things in the past, people have felt pretty confident in doing business one way and proclaiming Christ another. Can't be done. We have to serve him with our whole heart. And that means do everything correctly according to the Word of God. Hallelujah. I'm going to have to stop right there. It's getting late. We've been moving along. Here's the two things that we looked at this morning. There's only one body of Christ. The body is not one member, but many members. I'm going to ask everyone, please stand with me. In the Sequoia National Park, there's a pine tree called a lodgepole. God created these pine cones with a very hard exterior. And it's very difficult for birds and animals to get into them. So those pine cones lay there for years and years and years with the seeds inside. Nothing can break them open. They're pretty hard. And so the trees don't reproduce a lot. However, there's one thing that causes those pine cones to break open, and that's heat. So when there's a fire, those cones break open, those seeds are planted, and the first vegetation that begins to grow back after a devastating fire is those lodgepole pine trees. Because God created them to open when there was heat. I believe, you know, when we talk about the body of Christ, the only way that we're going to really recognize what the body of Christ is all about is to go through some heat together. That's when we really produce. That's when we really begin to understand each other. Listen, I can tell you from our life group that, you know, we go through some hot times together. It's hard. It's difficult. There's pain in people's lives. We cry together and we laugh together. But when we cry together, that's what really seems to cement our relationship. These are important parts of being a part of the body of Christ, recognizing who we really are and who we serve. Not only God, but we serve one another. Amen. Bow your head, please. I'm going to ask our prayer warriors to come forward. Anybody would like healing at the end of the service, please come up, pray for you. Thank you, Lord. Father, you're a living God. We serve you with all our heart, soul, and mind, and that's the way you've desired us to worship and to serve you. We're mere humans, and we do make mistakes. And Lord, we're thankful that we have your grace, and we have it, our advocate, Jesus Christ. Last thing we want to do is condemn anyone, Father. We want everyone to know that your grace is sufficient. But we also have a huge responsibility as the body of Christ to minister to each other, to love one another, and to be an example to the world, ambassadors for Christ. Lord, today we just ask that you continue to touch our hearts. Help us to hear what you're saying to us individually. Help us to be confirmed and affirmed in a place where we are right now. And if it's not where you want us to be, that we will hear your voice, change our direction, and trust you. For without faith, it's impossible to please you. And we want to walk in faith and please you. Lord, you promise that you will reward those who diligently seek after you. Today, we ask that you just touch our hearts, direct us, Lord, that we will hear and serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Have a wonderful day. If you'd like prayer, please come forward. I pray this message will help you find God's path for your life. If you'd like to know more about the ministry of Bethel Worship Center, please visit our website at bethelwc.org. Have a blessed day.